like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Misspelling with Tori Spelling, an iHeartRadio podcast.
We just got back from SteelCon, and SteelCon is a convention. I know there's so many types of conventions. But this is an autograph signing convention where different places, they rent convention centers in different cities. And for 3 days straight, they jam pack as many people into one building as possible and line up booths and rows of celebrities. Different cons have like different niche things. This one was kind of, well, it was all of my 90210 cast. So it was a blend of like reunions because there was us, there was Breakfast Club. And then there's also like horror things, which you know is my jam. Oh my God, you guys, it was a reunion of Thelma and Louise. So Gina Davis was there, Susan Sarandon. They look gorgeous. Anyway, I digress. So they shove you all in this building for like, I don't know, a weekend, which there's no beginning, middle, or end. You just go, 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 go. And we're grateful because all the fans are there. But it's just like in, out, in, out. You have selfies. You have autographs. They bring you gifts. Here's the thing. The people that run conventions, they also, you know, they have money to make. So they also, as kind as they are, it's a moving, well-oiled, so you hope, machine at these conventions. And you got to keep your lines moving. Now, you probably could have figured this one. I talk too much. But I talk because I'm a people person and I like people. And I'm Tori. I'm a self-professed hugger. So I can't even fathom people coming up into my line and being like, all right, here's your autograph. What do you want? You know, here's your name. Bye. I would never do that. And I know people probably make a lot of money just coming, you know, they get people in and out quickly, but I'm a talker. I'm doing better. I'm working on it to split the difference of the give and take, but I like to hug all my fans and talk to my fans and make it a personal experience because I like them. Hey, look what I got. One fan made me this, and it's my misspelling sippy cup. Is that a thing? Yeah. But ironically, she was like, okay. She knows I like a good two for one. So you got misspelling on this side, and then she was like, she didn't say if. She goes, when Andy finally puts you on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you can turn it to that. I mean, I think I get asked that question probably right up there with, what was it like to grow up in a 56,000 square foot mansion? Well, I didn't really grow up there. I moved there when I was 16, so I was literally only there for 2 years. But it was rad. that's my rehearsed answer and I'm sticking to it. And the next one's like, you look good. And is it true you've had all that plastic surgery? And, oh, no, actually, what they say is, oh, my gosh, you actually look pretty in person. Huh. I always say thank you, but I'm like, I got to tell you, I'm not sure how I'm supposed to take that. Thank you. Not thank you. Did I look like fucking ass on TV? Cool. Anyway, and why aren't you on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? And I'm like, I don't know. Once I asked Andy Cohen, who I love and have known forever, been on his show many times, and he was like, yeah, we keep getting this question. I was like, so Andy, what's the answer? And he's like, I don't know. You and The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I can't see it. And I was like, wait. And he goes, do you know any of them? I was like, every single one of them I'm friends with and have known forever and have a history. But whoa. Wasn't I like the OG Beverly Hills? Like, I don't understand. What I really want to say to him, and I'm a little passive aggressive. So I'm like, huh, all the fans ask, Andy, I don't know. I mean, whatever, that's fine. What I wanted to say is it because I'm broke? Let's be real here. Okay, Ruth Ann, sorry, organize me.
So you brought your own merchandise to SteelCon, and that was
really— Don't shame me.
I'm not shaming you. That's what you're supposed to do. Okay. Except you were a little last minute about it, shall we say. I had asked you, do you have merchandise? And first you said, yes, it's being shipped. And then it turned out it wasn't being shipped. And
you guys, she's a filthy liar. This is not how the convo went. I probably somehow passive aggressively or not was like, here's what I love to do and rile her up. Everybody, I'm talking about my 90210 friends, are bringing their merch. And I don't have merch. And you said, this is my first time. I'm a newbie. It is. She's never been to a convention. Are you scarred for life? We'll get to that.
I'm very scarred on a number of levels.
Cool. Welcome to my world. No. You know what it is? Brian Austin Green. Brian got me riled up and was like, what do you sell your merch for? T-shirts, da da da. And so I, being me, flew into a panic. It was like, I didn't think this one, there was merch being done. Oh my gosh. But wait, Jen's going to have her merch line. Oh my gosh. Brian's now bringing it. What am I going to do? Let's not panic. I always panic. So you know about storage, you know about the lockers. So the two that we saved so far, there was a box and got the wrong box because there's different boxes of Donna Martin Graduates T-shirts. Now, you guys, listen, they're not the best. You know, they were one of those things where you go online and it was like you pick a T-shirt, you pick the font. They're basic. They're basic, which you guys know I am not basic. So it was the wrong box. And there's multiple boxes with multiple sizing. And this one, which is great, but it was, you know, it's not for everyone, was the box with XL and 2XL. Nothing else.
But getting them to Pittsburgh.
Ruthann, it's a shit show here. And she's like, well, I call this a Wednesday. And I was in your life. And I was like, oh, yeah, given. But I was like, I have my books that we got out of storage. One of my books. The last one, Spelling It Like It Is, and a box of T-shirts. And Ruth Ann says, just grab the kids' like luggage. And I was like, what luggage? It's all in storage. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. She's like, grab a duffel bag, anything you could find. And I was like, pigeon carrier? Like, I don't know. They're in my garage, I don't have what you need me to have. But I do have a pigeon carrier and a chicken carrier. Oh, and a chicken incubator, but it's a whole other story. So I, of course, did not do that. And yeah, I just kind of grabbed the box and I was like, okay, we'll just tape it up at the airport. I grabbed six books, because in the long run, hey, this is a business. Six books. What the hell is six books going to do for us? Nothing. But I grabbed six. It was all I could grab. We were going to crush it on book sales.
Mm-hmm.
And away I went to the airport.
So the plan had been that we were going to fly with just carry-on to ensure that we didn't lose anything. And when Tori showed up with the giant cardboard box that was falling apart, the merchandise, we just said, okay, that we can check. And if it doesn't make it, it doesn't make it.
The OG plan was I was going to take my ginormous Tori Poppins bag, aka my fake YSL bag, which I don't even know why, but every time people are like, oh, love your bag, I'm like, it's fake. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Just say thank you. Like, why do I have to say it's fake? Yeah, I like to help out. So I always say, here, go on Instagram. Here's the best place. The stuff's really good. But anyway, I feel the need to. But rescued from the storage unit is something not fake. It is my OG Balenciaga bag that I've had for 20 years. I'm going to retire the Tori Poppins bag. And you're like, why do you call it Tori Poppins? Well, let me tell you. Because anything and everything is in that bag. If there's a crisis, I got it. Like Band-Aids, got it. At one point, I found a diaper in there. And you know what? Bo 7 hasn't worn diapers in years. Why it's in there, I don't know. Oh, my God. One time at band camp, one time when Bo still was wearing diapers, I had to pee really bad. I was stuck on the 101, which is like our craziest freeway here. And I was like, I'm not going to make it home. So I literally reached back in my Tori Poppins bag and I'm like, something, please God, something. And I went through and I'm like, aha, a diaper. And I literally put like on a diaper and pissed in my pants in Bo's diaper.
That's brilliant.
It really comes in handy, you guys.
So we manage somehow to get through security and into the club.
What, you thought I'd get caught? Actually, I'm always the one that gets patted down. I'm not mad at that. But it's always me. And things always show up in areas where I'm like, it just makes me wonder that when I had my breast implants put in, like what's in there? Because it always dings. It always. And I'm like, are they my tits? And they're always like, do you have anything in there in your bra, perhaps? I'm like, no, they always go off. If you don't know, I am terrified of flying. But actually, you have to admit, I've gotten better. So my dad was not just a fearful flyer. He did not fly. My dad was in World War II, coming back, and he grew up in Texas. They landed, they were in New York. He had to take a flight to Texas. He couldn't get on the flight. He had bronchitis. The doctor said no. He didn't get on, and there were no phones back then, and he was so poor. Like, he literally, like, hitchhiked, like, back and got back to Dallas, and the plane crashed and everyone on it died. And his mom had been told that he was on the flight, and he always would say, I pulled up to my street on Browder Street and there were cars. And he said, we were so poor. Like, there was only cars when there was like a funeral or something or a wedding. Like, what was going on? There were cars lighting this street. And my dad was Jewish, and they were sitting Shiva, which is, you know, they all congregate and mourn the loss. So he said his mother answered the door, saw him, and fainted. When she came to, Grandma Pearl, she said, promise me, he was 18, you'll never fly again. He never flew again. Passed that on to me. Terribly fearful of flying. Never took my first flight. I actually didn't fly till I was 18. And it was a 90210 thing where we all did this radio thing and this big contest. And in exchange, we didn't get paid. We got a trip to Hawaii. And we did these multiple years. And so I was 18. I was with Shannon. I was with Gabrielle. And we got on the plane and I was just like sobbing hysterical. Who do you think held my hand and got me through it? Gabrielle, of course. Andrea, you know? Very much like her character. She's the mother and the nurturer. And so anyway, that was my first flight. And I've been telling this story for years that I'm terrified of flying. I have been known to single-handedly like freak people out in a plane. I scream and cry so loud that people that say they have never in their lives been fearful of flying have full-blown panic attacks and cannot breathe. And when I'm like, you get a Xanax, you get a Xanax, you know, it's like, you know, Oprah under your seat. Like, no, 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 no. That's happened. Anyway, I think I was just conditioned to think it was my fear. And I think perhaps it wasn't ever my fear. I took it on and made it, you know, my fear. It was almost like a connection to my dad. And it was like, see, I'm just like him. I'm just like him, which I am in many ways. But how about the good ways, like creatively and produce sorely? But the fear recently, I've been like, oh, I'm so scared. And then I check myself. I'm doing this new thing. Sorry, you guys. Deal with me. Like, gut check. Let me check internally. Is this what it is? And then I'm like, nah, I don't feel it. Anyway, I was good, right? I made it.
You were really good, actually. I've been more and more impressed every time we fly. But we did have a kind of mean flight attendant. Oh. Do you remember?
Yeah, sure do. So I'm a people pleaser. I'm trying to work on this, but I really want people to like me. And that's like ingrained in me. We all have jobs to do. We're trying to get through our work. And I always feel it's really nice to take a moment and acknowledge. I always look and I'm like, you know what? Just what's gut check? What is something about this person that just instantly I find appealing, attractive? I love those earrings. It's all true. I don't make up lies, but it's whatever I'm drawn to. I feel it's important to kind of take a moment and ask how their day is and acknowledge things like that. And it usually works, you guys. I'm not going to lie. I mean, they're usually like throwing the warm nuts at me. I'm so nice. This woman, I acknowledged her purple glasses. And I said, I love glasses, which I do. And I said, I love yours and I love purple. And she was nice, but she wanted nothing to do. She was like, get in your seat. Here we go. This, you know, she was by the books. And after we had, what was it? We had one drink. Yeah. And we went back up to get another drink. And what'd she say?
She cut us off. Basically, we had one drink and it's an overnight flight. You know, I don't think it's unusual having the luxury of flying first class. If you like to have a drink or two to relax, to have a drink or two. And she basically said, no.
She said, no, 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 no. We've had complaints already. You guys are loud.
We had barely taken off at that point, though.
I get excited. Like I'm with my friend. We are catching up. And when I get passionate, you guys, my voice does raise. So it had nothing to do with alcohol.
It was ridiculous. I kind of feel like she targeted us and really was not a fan from the minute we got on that plane. Remember she came around with the snacks and she was like, only one can only have one.
She set up a selfie stand, you guys. She sat in her seat and she put her blanket on. She had her food. She put her phone there. And I even went back and I said, I was scared to ask for water. Don't worry. Still the same old me. It wasn't for me. It was for Ruth Ann. I was like, I don't want water. And I said, I can get the glass. And she was like, I felt that nervous that I was like, may I help you in the galley? May I do this for you? Because she was like, she wanted to get back to her show she was watching. So we didn't sleep on the flight because I can't sleep on flights. So because I'm scared. Sometimes going to conventions, you have other celebrities. I've been known to literally get off a plane because I am super like stitious and I'm like, no, I'm just weird. And I got off a plane once because Michael Bolton, this is like 20 years ago, Michael Bolton was on this flight and I saw him get up to get off. And I turned to my friend and I said, follow that man, follow those luscious locks from behind. You got to follow him off. And he said, what are you doing? We have to get there. And I said, no, This is a sign. Like, this will be the story that Michael Bolton was fine, Tori Spelling went down, and like, yeah. But if it's like a weird mix of celebrities, I'm not going to lie. Like, I might be a little judgy of the celebrities. I might be like, you know, is it A-list? Is it D-list? Like, what kind of celebrity is on here? I overthink it. And I'm like, because that would imagine. So it's either going to go this way, like, oh, this person was on this flight and it didn't make it. Or it's going to be like, these rando celebrities were together on a flight and they didn't make it. So either way, you're screwed. But yeah, I followed him off that plane, didn't look back. Anyway, didn't sleep on the flight. So we flew all night and then got to Pittsburgh. And my merch was lost. That big box that you lovingly taped up for, God, a really long time. They couldn't find it. And I said, leave the merch. It's like janky. It's not even good. I'm not even proud of it. Like, it's fine. We'll move on. But they found it. Eventually it came out. And I'm like, it keeps coming back. Can't get rid of it if I try. Anyway, we made it to Pittsburgh.
That box of merchandise haunted us for the whole weekend. And we got it upstairs, the hotel room.
Beautiful hotel they put us at for SteelCon. And we closed our eyes for what? An hour?
Maybe an hour.
So we're like, hurry, hustle. We got to get up. We got to get there. It's starting. And the box. We had to get the box down. Anyway, I get in the van. I get there. And I'm with Brian, Austin Green. Anyway, I get there. And I was like, oh, my God, the merchandise. I was like, how much did you bring? He's like, I didn't bring merchandise. And I was like, are you with me? I was like, you got me all riled up, so I had to get that as storage. I don't even have the proper box. It's not even the right ones. And he was like, I didn't rile you up. And I was like, oh, you've riled me up for 33 years. Of course you did. Anyway, didn't even need it. Didn't need it. How many did we sell? Three.
Well, it wasn't even that. Remember, we took an Uber to get there. And the merchandise ended up on the shuttle, and then they couldn't find the shuttle, and they couldn't find the merchandise, and you were busy signing autographs and hugging people, and I was panicking, trying to find the giant box of merchandise, which finally arrived, and then I think we sold a total of maybe six t-shirts in one book.
Oh, we sold six? I thought it was three. Cool. Anyway, it was a really great experience, you guys. I loved seeing all the fans. My fans are so nice. I got presents. I have this beautiful bracelet that I have not taken off that has all my kids' names. Notes that I'm going to read. Okay. So there were merch booths at the convention where you could buy stuff, which you don't know this about me because I spared you. But I like to, when I have a moment, which is never, run and go through all the merch stuff and then like buy stuff for my kids because they have really cool stuff. A lot of horror stuff. I'm into horror. My kids are into horror. Just like iconic movie stuff. Like, you know, I'm always like, oh my God, what do you have from Goonies? I want it. Like, you know, I just like things from the 80s. Like, anyway, my childhood. Oh my God, somebody came up with a t-shirt called, it's like a really, I love all really bad horror films. And there's one from the 80s called Basket Case. Oh my God. Someone had the best Basket Case t-shirt. I loved it. Anyway, a big part of this convention was not just 90210, but it was a big horror convention too. And I was in Scream 2 and Scary Movie 2, which was a parody of horror films. So there were a lot of people that wanted to do Scream stuff, which I was super grateful. And then I got to reconnect with Heather Graham because she and I were both in Scream 2 and played a part of the movie within the movie called Stab, which I played Sydney Prescott, Neve Campbell's character, all based on because they made fun of me in number one. Anyway, so Heather Graham and I did a Stab reunion and took pictures with a lot of people. And so Heather and I were taking a Stab photo and all of a sudden within the line, like everyone's like lined up. But Heather and I are standing there and we're looking. And then one ghost face is in line. And of course, I lean over and I'm like, imagine. And she's like, oh my God. And I was like, wait, Heather, I don't think they've done that one. It's a convention. And we're the movie within the movie. We're not actually in the Scream 2, like we're Stab. And we're at the convention doing the movie within the movie signing. And there's a ghost face and we're like, ha ha, ha, that's fun. That's great. And then like, she'd live because she's a big star, but I'd be killed in the first scene. We did ask the person, we're like, oh my God, we just want to see you. And they took their mask off. And I was like, I'm not going to lie. I thought you were going to kill us. And the guy was like, oh my God, really? I was like, duh. Yeah. I was like, God, that would be iconic.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian Mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you're standing at the table, and you have a choice. Have choices. You can take breaks, they tell you, at any time. And there's a green room, which is lovely, and they have snacks and sodas. I say sodas because there's water there, but I don't even look that way. And, you know, and at any time you can go to the bathroom, do what you got to do. But I feel bad, of course. So I usually typically stand there the entire time. And you can sit. There's some celebrities that sit and sign autographs. And, you know, me, I'm like, no, I'm going to stand the whole time. Like, you know, because I don't want you to have a reason not to like me. And that was always like my biggest fear in life. Biggest fear. That's a lie. That's so dramatic. That was one of my fears always, that, you know, people wouldn't like me because how I grew up, they would assume I'm a bitch, you know. You know what? It's probably because this girl Holiday in elementary school used to corner me and she'd be like, oh, look, it's the little rich bitch. Where are you going? And I'd be like, nowhere. That stuck with me. Anyway, she was a bully. But yeah, I never take breaks. But my whole cast, they barely took breaks. Like we were all like lined up together. So our booths connect. And then you have like a table with all your pictures and, well, merch if you have it, and put it out. And people come up and can take selfies. They can get autographs, anything signed that they might have. And yeah, if you don't want to like walk away and go to the green room or anything, you can always, as I just did it, dive under your table.
There's curtains. Around the table, you should.
Around the table, yes. You can hide under your table, which I did a few times because I was talking to my kids and, like, didn't want to leave and didn't want to leave people waiting. So I would be like, sorry, I have to take a call from my kid and, like, get under the table. So at one point, you know what? We were traveling. No one had slept. We hadn't, you know, it was go, go, go. It was 72 hours of go, go, go. I had my stomach was like, and I'd be to the fans like, I'm so sorry. That's my stomach. And they were just like, they're in their world. They're not thinking about you. I mean, they're thinking about you, but I have to like call it out. If there's anything and everything that happens, I always have to say, I'm that person that if my shoe squeaks or the chair squeaks I'm sitting on, I'm like, I didn't fart. I'm a 50-year-old woman still being in a business meeting going, I didn't fart. And people are like, what are you even talking about? But on the off chance that someone heard it, my brain, I can't keep going on. Like, I can creatively go on for days, days, days. I have a great memory, storyteller. But if I'm like, oh my God, I get self-conscious, oof, everything goes out the window. So I just call it like it is. Anyway, my stomach was going, bruh, bruh, and it was like an alien was coming out of my stomach. And, literally, it's like the fists, like you could see it. Like if I was like, hey, lift my shirt, which, oh, I don't even have to do that nowadays because I wear crop tops again. So it's just a gas, baby. Yeah. And anyway, I went under the table because I was like, I have to pass wind. Do you like how now I'm going to get proper and try to like make this sound a little more normalized? I get down on the ground in fart position under the table, and Ruthann's laughing hysterically. Whatever. I had to fart, you guys. Jen hates the word fart, and her booth was right next to me. So.
And there's lines and lines of fans waiting.
Like hundreds of people waiting.
And it just, the
and they had no idea.
So funny. If only they knew. If only they knew.
Anyway, yeah, so that happened.
There was a lot of kooky things that happened, but just given that you had just done the storage episode and you talked about the estate sale you had 18 years ago, right. A fan showed
up.
Oh
my God.
And it was as if he just walked right out of that story.
Yeah. He walked up and he said, he pulls up. I'm not kidding you guys. I was like, oh, this is my youth. A jean skirt. That was this big. I was like, I don't even know how that covers your butt, your crotch. Like, I don't know. Like, you'd have, like, lips flapping in the wind. Like, whoa, did I wear that back in the day? It is crazy. It was for a toddler. And he was like, oh, I bought this at your estate sale. 18 years ago. But it was, like, a proper, good, original, Juicy Couture denim skirt, and it said Juicy on the back where your butt's barely covered. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know why I sold this, other than that I was broke. But I know, because remember when like certain brands are in and then they're out, and it's like, oh, okay, well, sorry, you spent all the money and had this, like, it's totally out. But me being a fashionista, collector, order, I always say, everything comes back. That's my story. I always say, like, that's why I'm saving this, because it will come back into style, which I am not wrong. Everything comes back around. So, but Juicy, it was like, when it went out, it tanked. Like, it was like the biggest obsession. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, no, 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 no. You cannot wear Juicy Couture. So I sold it all in my estate sale. And my daughters are now, it's back with a vengeance. Like, everyone wants to find, like, original Juicy. They remake it now, but it's new. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if you saw the ones from the 90s, and Stella's always like, where are they? And I'm like, lost in storage somewhere. But it's like lost in space.
They're at SteelCon in Pittsburgh. That's where
it is. In Pittsburgh. So this guy bought it, and he was like, I'd like you to sign it. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you have this. My daughter's totally into Juicy. She wants all my stuff from the 90s. Some of it is somewhere, and some of it's gone. And I said, would you consider selling this back to me? And he goes, no, I'm going to put it in my man cave, which was really concerning. So I promptly smelled it because I was like, I bet he's never washed this shit. Like, I'm just saying, like, this is creeps. And then I said, oh, but my daughter really loves Juicy. What can I do? Is there any, give me an amount that, you know, here I am. This defeats the whole purpose, trying to make money to support my family. And I'm like, I sold that to make money to support my growing family. I was pregnant with Liam at the time. And here I am saying, what do you want for it? What do you want? I'll buy it back. And he was like, no, I want this. I just want you to sign it. And I was like, oh, what do I do? So I looked down and I was like, what about my pants? And he goes, you're going to take your pants off and sign them? And I was like, would that make a difference? Allegedly? And he was like, all right, you take your pants off, you'll sign them. I that was a hard pass because my dolls kill pants and they're sold out. They're not restocking those. So I wasn't going to do that. So, yeah, I signed the Juicy. And I got home and I showed Stella the video. And she was like, oh my God, that's the best jean skirt ever. I wish I had it. And I was like, oh, sorry. Well, some guys, like, I didn't say this to her, you guys. Let me preface that. But, you know, it's hanging in his man cave and that's creepy. Yeah, that's all.
Okay, so question. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The last time you saw the whole cast together was at 90s Con, right? Was that the last time you guys were all together or most of
Correct.
You? So how did it feel
Most
this
of us,
time
yeah.
being sort of all of you back together again? I know there's, you know, obviously you see Jenny all the time. I know you're really in touch with Brian, but, you know, like Jason lives in Tennessee and, you know, everybody's sort of spread out and doing their own thing. So how did it feel? Like, what's the dynamic between all of you?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, whenever we get together, that's the hardest part is when we do group photos and they're like, come on, we need to get through the line at any convention. They want you to go because they have people waiting for the next group shot of, you know, reunions or whatever. And we just laugh so hard together because we all regress to those like teens and some of us in our 20s and 30s at the time. But I was a teen and we just laugh. Like, it's just, I don't know. They say you can't go home again. Yeah, you can. And we always have so much fun together. And this is the first time that I saw the entire group since I filed for divorce. So, you know me, I don't like people to feel bad for me. Like, you know, everyone goes through hard things in their life. You know, none of us are victims and it's our decision to step beyond that. And so, you know, I did get... First time Jason saw me and he gave me a hug and said, are you okay? You know, of course, I made some silly joke like I always do because that's how I cope is making jokes. But yeah, there was that where I was like, I have to talk to all my friends. Oh, my gosh. And then Ian, oh, I love Ian. And he just always gives me such a pep talk and we're so close. And he's obviously checked in a gazillion times, but it's the first time he had me in person. And at dinner one night, he said, so what is the next step? And I was like, wait, like literally, like in the divorce? What? And he's like, well, no, for you personally, like, what do you feel? Like, are you? And he goes, are you on any dating sites? And I was like, no. And I had that moment where I'm like, what? Oh my God. It's as if you said the most offensive thing to me. And what he was saying is, well, that's the evolution. Like, eventually you're going to get yourself back out there and it's going to be great. And it's your second chapter and all that. But I had that moment where I was like, no, I would never. I'm never getting on a dating site. And I was like, should I be on a dating site? Ew, I can't even remember. Like, remember. I've never done it. I've been married for 18 years. Like, dating sites didn't exist then. Dating apps, am I supposed to call it an app? I don't know. Anyway, it was interesting. Yeah. But it's really great to be with all of them again.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
So it was Shannon's birthday, which is amazing. And given everything that she's been through and going through, it's always a huge, you know, you feel like it's a bigger celebration than when we get older. We say, oh, it's just my birthday. It's just my birthday. And she's not into celebrating her birthday, but her friends want to celebrate her. So it was her birthday, the first day that we got to SteelCon. So we did go to dinner. She flew in that night and we on her birthday, which is lovely of her to do that for her fans. And we went to dinner and it was all of her friends that flew in with her. And Brian and I and Ruth Ann and Brian's manager and Drew Fuller, that she was on Charmed with and is best friends with. And we all had a lovely dinner. But that group, I'm telling this part because that group flew in on Shannon and Chris, her best friend, their private plane. And we were lucky enough to fly home with them on the private plane, which was literally, oh my God, it's so Lex, you guys. You like, you pull in and they like take your bags like on a bell cart as if you're going up to a luxury suite. And meanwhile, We get there. We don't know how this works. In the car, I'm freaking out on the way there. And I'm telling Ruthann and Jason, you guys, I'm freaking out. I'm Jason and I and Ruthann are in the car alone on the way there. And because we were dropping Jason off in Nashville, Shannon made a pit stop to drop off Jason. I'm like, wow. So I was like, I am freaking out. I've never been on a private plane. And both of you were like, okay, you've never been on a private plane. And I really had to think about it. I was like, I think one of those ones that go to Vegas where it's smaller and it's a shared thing, but like on somebody's private plane, I couldn't recall. I'm like, I don't think so. Anyway, we're on Shannon's plane. And then she promptly tells everybody that the toilet on her plane is sacred and nobody can poop in that. So, yeah. When I got home, let's just say, I got into fart position.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.